بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We come to the masjid to maximize our sawab, rewards and the blessings have certain procedures. We follow the procedures, our rewards are maximized. But if those procedures are avoided or neglected, that can be dangerous at times. At times it can be a problem. So the one that is coming to the masjid, making wuzu at home, and gracefully he comes to the masjid, tries and occupies the front rows, then the malaika continuously make dua for him. مَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْذِي أَحَدْ. As long as he remains in the state of wuzu and doesn't disturb anybody, so the malaika make three duas for him. One dua, Allah Ta'ala forgive the person. Number two is Allah Ta'ala bless the person, and اللهم صلي عليه, and Allah Ta'ala give him the choicest blessings. So as long as he remains in the state of wuzu and he doesn't disturb anybody. So every masjid has a program. If you go into the Arab countries, then they'll go straight and deliver the khutbah. And in the non-Arab countries, they have a pre-Jumma talk. So according to the convenience, they'll have a program. When they have a program, then you will not say that, why are you inconveniencing and why are you disturbing? Because that's the program of that masjid. And every masjid will have a different program. Someone is having a kitab reading, so you're not going to say, no, it's a disturbance. Someone is having a tafsir class, you won't say it's a disturbance. Someone is having a zikr class, you won't say it's a disturbance. It's the program, the itinerary of that masjid. Then, again, a small adjustment in how the reward just multiplies. You left the home, you made wuzu, and you also did miswak. So, with the doing of miswak, the reward is escalated 70 times. Just a small adjustment, made wuzu at the house, left for the masjid, but with miswak, and on foot. So the reward is multiplied so much. For every step is a reward and a guna getting maafed and a status in Jannat getting elevated with every step. That is why the hadith says, فَلْيُبَعِدْ أَوِلْ يُقَرْلِمْ. Then it's your choice, you're taking smaller steps or bigger steps. The more the steps and the more the reward. So overall, there are places, times and persons, and the respective adab has to be shown for you to maximize in the reward. Otherwise the namaz will be done, you are absolved of your obligation, but you will not then maximize on the reward. Like on the Jummah, for example, you are coming on foot, it wuzu, everything, and then gracefully you came to the masjid, right, then all the sins until the past Jummah, everything is maafed. All are maafed. Whatever happened from the past Jummah till this Jummah, everything is maafed. But for what? You made the wuzu, you came in, you listened to the khutbah attentively, you didn't talk, and neither did you jump over anybody's shoulder in order to come to the front. So then this brings you a reward, such a reward that all your sins for the entire week has been maafed. So one is places, and the places have to be respected. You're in the Haramain, so you respect the place. And respect is nothing new, it was always. As Musa alayhi salam is told, إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. Pull off your shoes, because you are now on holy grounds. So the namaz could have been done if the shoes were parked and someone performed the namaz with the shoe, then the namaz would have been done. But greater respect, it requires that you pull off the shoes and then you get into namaz, you get into a prayer. So Musa alayhi salam has been taught that this is how you will come, you are at a religious site, at a respectable place, then how you should be conducting yourself. So the place that you are in, whether it's this masjid or any other masjid, whether it's a place where the word of Allah Ta'ala or the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are being taught and imparted, because it's the word of Allah Ta'ala and it's the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what level of respect is supposed to be shown when you are at these type of centers where the name of Allah Ta'ala is being taught or the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being imparted. So what type of level, what type of respect is shown? فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. So it's a dini talk. So what are you supposed to be doing? فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. Listen attentively. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. One is to say listen, and the other is to say فَاسْتَمِعُوا. فَاسْمَعُوا and فَاسْتَمِعُوا. So فَاسْتَمِعُوا requires that you listen, but you listen attentively. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So the stories of Musa alayhi salam is repeated approximately 28 times in the Quran Sharif. It's the first encounter with wahi and the level of respect that is required. So Allah Pak says, أَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. We have chosen you to be our Nabi, to be our messenger. فَاسْتَمِعْ, listen attentively. So many a times a person gets deprived because of these primary levels of adab. Primary levels of adab, and avoid that, considering it to be a small thing, a minor thing, an insignificant thing, and everything gets wiped out. So the Quran Sharif says that this was the way of the kuffar. لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْفِ. That don't listen to this Quran. See, sometimes you'd have the Imam performing namaz and reciting the Quran in namaz. So the Quran has got a natural attraction. It's namaz and the Imam is reciting. Or it's a gathering that is seated here especially to listen to the Quran. It's gathered to listen to the Quran. Sometimes it happens, moreover in the month of Ramadan, people are reciting Quran Sharif a little bit audibly. One is reciting to the other one is reciting. So that's understood that this is a time to recite the Quran to each other. It's a time given. So you won't say that's a disturbance. But now, kuffar, what they would do, لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْفِ. Okay, when the Quran Sharif is being recited, then talk loudly, randomly shout, so that people may not be able to get the message of Allah Ta'ala. So you will prevail. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. What you are talking about, like how you have in this day and time, unfortunately, come into the masjid and you didn't switch the phone. When you didn't switch off the phone, now someone's ringing tone is going on. And all type of haram ringing tone, sometimes is music or whatever else. They may call it a nasheed, but actually it's music, because it's on the musical tones. So you may call it a nasheed. An Arabic song or an Urdu song sung in that rhythmic tone is not permissible, because in Arabic or in Urdu, no. If it's sung in that style, then it's a song and it will be impermissible. So that thing is going on. Now one person's phone is going and the whole masjid is being disturbed. I say, is it fair to the rest of the people? Someone is making zikr loudly, is reading Quran Sharif loudly, is doing something else loudly, all are engaged, and your phone is going on. So it's so inconsiderate. We are coming here to gain the mercies of Allah Ta'ala, but that requires that we be considerate to everybody else. Now the phone is going sometime right in the namaz time, and then it's going on for 1 minute. You know, people are wondering, what do we do? Do we listen to the music that's going on? Or do we listen to the Quran Sharif that is being recited? What do we do? So, you are coming here, then for that time, can't we do this, keep the phone away? Or keep the phone, if you are so forgetful, keep the phone always on silent. On silence, even if it rings, nobody disturbs. You will get the message that there is someone phoning, but you won't be disturbing yourself, nor will you be disturbing any other person. So these are now some of the simple etiquettes of a place that you are visiting, a masjid. Even if it's your own house, then there is some other how you enter the house. Then, if it's a stranger that is coming, he won't just intrude into your privacy, won't just barge into the house. He'll knock, make salam, ask for permission. And even if it is your own room, and your door is closed, and it's your child also can't just barge into the home, into your privacy. You must be taught that now, the room is locked, the door is closed. So if I need to go in, then I need to take permission. They may be undressing, they may not be in a state that you can see them in that state. So the etiquette requires now, take permission. Sometimes it may be in your own lounge. Your lounge, your wife may have some of her friends, and you just barged in. Obviously, you're going to be invading their privacy. They'll feel embarrassed, and they'll feel, what type of a man is this? He doesn't respect our privacy. We are sitting, all women will be sitting together, so their heads or their faces won't be covered like normal times. But now you just barged in and invaded their privacy. I say, is it right for them? Right? So one is the place that we are in. Then number two is the person that we are talking to. Then what is the adab? What is the respect that is supposed to be shown in that? So a whole surah in the Quran Sharif is revealed to teach us adab. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله. That you don't put yourself ahead of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a gathering, it's an assembly. In that assembly, see who is the most senior. Obviously, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will be nobody that is at the level of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or if it is that you are at home and it's your father or your uncle or someone senior, then let him initiate the conversation. He'll start off. And then, if it is that he wants you to say something, expressly or implicitly, however he wants you to say something, then you may say it. But, they are talking, and you intruding, is that the right thing? Right? You are young, and they are of age, or they are senior in knowledge, right? Senior in age, or senior in knowledge. And the other piece that then you remain silent. And if they want you to say something, then you say it. Otherwise, you're not taking cognizance of the person. You're not concerned. No, I can talk, I'm free. Diplomatic right. But that's Westernism. Westernism can't be reconciled with Islam. Everything, in Westernism, everything goes. You're talking to a girl openly, looking at her, flirting with her, shaking hands with her. Everything works there. There is no barrier for any haram in Westernism. Now those concepts can't be applied to Islam. For them it's part of the culture. A strange man is embracing a strange woman, it's part of the culture. So that's acceptable there. So their rotten culture we cannot bring into Islam. So now the person that we are talking to, so it's a senior person in knowledge or in the family, then you allow him to initiate. Or we are sitting on a table having our meals, then let the senior person start off and then you carry on. Not that you just came onto the table, so now it's my right, or it's my home, so what's wrong if I eat? Senior person, let him start. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, Kashful Asrar, they report this, that he was walking ahead of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he was cautioned that, don't you know that this man, Abu Bakr, is the greatest person on earth after the Anbiya alayhi salam. After the Anbiya, he is the greatest person on earth, and you're walking ahead of him. You shouldn't be walking ahead of him. Show some respect. Recognize the cognizance of the person. There isn't a person as senior as him. Though the person may be elder in age, but that doesn't make him senior. Senior in knowledge, in righteousness, in piety, he's senior. You may be greater in age, but he's senior in all other respects. So respect the seniority. So that's the first adab, that we will not initiate. When you're in a gathering, the young will not initiate, the elder in knowledge or in age, etc., or the family, he will initiate. Food, the same, in walking, the same. Let them start off, and if they want you to say something, then you contribute. Similarly, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقُولِ. It's all adab. The whole surah is filled of adab. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقُولِ. Neglecting this adab, what can happen? This ayat shows it. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقُولِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. And don't speak to Nabi Sassam or to your senior in a loud tone, like how you may speak to each other, it's your friend or your brother. You may speak a little bit in a loud tone. That's acceptable. It's overlooked. But if it's a senior, then you don't talk in a loud tone. It's your father, your uncle. Then how do you, although you may be right, there's no doubt about not you not being right, but then there's a way how you speak to the senior. لَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. Especially if it's a senior in deen, then how do you speak to him? So you don't speak in a loud tone. As for the parents, and the Quran has got five guidelines. قُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Respect and decorum, right? And then وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلْ. And lower yourself, humble yourself. Someone senior in deen, then don't think yourself to be seen to be at this level. Show some respect and some humility in his presence, right? Then again, they may be aged. And then when they are aged, then you feel a bit disturbed with their type of performance. So don't say any word of contempt. That's the third adab. And the fourth adab is make dua for them. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ. So Islam has got a whole guideline, and just that we need to study this thing here, that what adab requires, how it's supposed to be said, when it's supposed to be said, and when it's not supposed to be said. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And don't speak in a loud tone. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. Now, if you're going to speak in a loud tone, what's going to happen? أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. It may result in all your deeds getting cancelled. We know that a person goes into apostasy, kufr, then his deeds are cancelled. But here the Quran is warning you that you're going to be showing, you're going to be disregard and speaking in a loud tone, that will result in all your good deeds being cancelled. You may not even, antum la tashurun, you may not even realize that my deeds are getting cancelled. The ulama under this verse here, they explain, how is it that your deeds get cancelled just because of you raising your voice in the presence of your senior and primarily Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So it says, the reason is this, that you're going to speak in a loud tone in the presence of your senior, then it's going to cause him some type of pain. This youngster, and he's talking in this loud tone. Doesn't he understand seniority? Doesn't he respect seniority? So that causes pain to the elder, right? And you've caused pain to a dini elder, and more especially, primarily Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what happens? The result is, the ulama explained, that the grace that you have to do good, that grace is withdrawn. See, you come into the masjid, reading Quran Sharif, making ta'lim. So this is all the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And if you hurt these people here, then that grace of Allah Ta'ala is withdrawn. Now you don't have that motivation and the drive to do that, what you were supposed to be doing. You're doing that all the time, but now that grace has been taken away from you. So you don't have the motivation to do right. You don't have the motivation of righteousness, respect, adab, etc. You don't have that. So when that's taken away from you, then the grace to make tawbah and istighfar, that also goes away. Then at the third level, what happens is you become brazen. You say, what? So what? But he's just a human being like me. So what? So you become a little bit brazen and you become a little bit daring. So now that's the dangerous point, because when you become brazen, then you're not cared, you're not bothered, right? And then that whole tawfiq, that whole grace goes away from you. And for you then to move on to disbelief becomes very easy. But when he starts off, so these aspects of adab as though they are barriers. They will stop you, they will protect you, they will guard you. And in the old we've seen this it was quite prominent, evident. Like we have seen our mothers, right? Or old grannies, right? And the respect that's shown to the Quran Sharif. So they'll have it on one gilaf and they have another wrapping over it. And when they'll open it, then they'll kiss it, put it on their heads, keep it near the hearts. And they'll have a takia or a pillow, they'll place it nicely with all respect. And turn the pages also with so much of dignity and decorum. And that is, when I look at this, I think to myself, the good that we have got, perhaps is the respect of the people of the past. That's carrying on, that is carrying us on. Mahmud Ghaznavi was also an alim. He was not a jahil, he was an alim. But he received an alim as a guest that was senior to him. So he is one of the leading kings of India, and he ruled for the Ghaznavi kingdom empire, continued in India for over 3 centuries or 4 centuries. But what was the catalyst, where it started from? It started from this point that he received this senior alim, he received him as a guest, and he made sure he walks behind him, not in line with him or not in front of him, behind him 7 steps. That alim was very impressed. Senior person, righteous, buzurg, Allah wala, that the man is showing, although he's a king, but he's showing so much of regards. He says, I make dua for you, that your kingdom goes on for seven generations. And exactly as he made dua, and they saw the good flourishing for 7 generations. So this is, to sum it up, respect, places, times, people, and what type of respect we are supposed to be showing, so that we could maximize in our blessings and rewards.